Everybody, welcome back to episode 75 of Buddy's Podcast.
75.
We've got week 7 coverage of the NFL, and UFC starts early, main card at 2 p.m. And here we go, Briss.
Hey. The way you feel, one kiss is all it takes, falling in love with me, possibilities, I look like all you need, one kiss is all it takes.
All right, we're back. We've returned. Showing our manliness,
you know,
on the show.
I'm a man.
With that intro song.
I'm a man.
All right, Briss.
What up?
Big show. Like I said, we've got week 7 NFL.
Yeah.
UFC is a huge card tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. For me personally, anytime Khabib's fighting, I'd rather, like, in terms of just, like, pure excitement. Mm-hmm. I'm more excited about watching other fights happen.
Yeah.
Just because you know what you're getting in these fights.
Yep.
It's going to be a 23-minute mauling on the ground.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes of him setting up his fucking... him going in for the takedown.
Yep. Pretty much.
So, I mean, there's that.
I mean, hey, Gaethje might just catch him slipping. You know, there's always that chance, but...
it's a fat chance, but...
yeah, you know.
So. There is, like, really the likelihood of that happening are probably...
slim.
What do they call it? Maybe 1 in 1,000,000? I don't know if it's that low. Much. Probably 1 in 1,000.
Still, it's not that high of an odd of it to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doable, but you know.
Maybe even 1 in 100. Who knows?
Yeah. Give him a, I mean, I give him a better chance than, you know, Conor when he fought Khabib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Conor's got that fucking one strike power.
I mean, Gaethje does too. It's just, I would say I give Gaethje more of an edge going into this one than Conor when they went at it.
Because I agree.
Mentally, Gaethje, you know, is there.
Yeah.
Conor was just a madman that fight, and that's what really killed him.
Yeah. And Gaethje's, like, in his prime right now.
Yep.
We've talked about it in his last 4 fights. We've never seen him, you know, as focused as he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing the, you know, I'm going to fall in on you, take 100 shots, and then try and land some big ones.
Like, he's getting more disciplined.
Yeah, he's 100%. And I mean, there's a whole card that's, you know, that's great. I believe Whitaker's on this card too.
Yeah. Yep. Him and, is it Cannoneer?
I think so.
Yeah, cause that's who, Izzy called out. So whoever wins this fight is going to get Izzy pretty much.
Exactly.
You know?
Which I don't know if, I mean, Whitaker doesn't really deserve another shot. I know he had a big knockout in his last fight.
Yeah.
But I don't think he deserves another shot. I think, Cannoneer, however you say it.
Yep.
Antonio Brown is a Buccaneer.
Man.
So we get to talk about him every week on the show now again.
This is going
to
be beautiful, fun, man. Stuff. It's like, this is going to be hilarious.
It's like we're moving in the right path to 2019. Like, if that's the crazy we get, I'm fine with it.
Like, just, man, NFL's really... it's really hitting that fever pitch where all the insanity is going to just start happening around the league.
Yeah, bring it back.
Man.
They're talking about Dez Bryant making a comeback.
Yep. You know, Odell's getting a little annoyed in Cleveland.
Talking about COVID, can't touch him.
Yeah, you know, it's just, man, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, man. But there's a lot to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we cleaned house. Fired everybody.
Oh yeah, they all had to go.
Fresh start. Let's go.
Everybody going. Yeah. All of them.
New slate. We might even redo the fucking logo here.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know,
who knows?
Actually, just
those interns, man.
Let's just rewrite the show summary right now.
Fuck it. Let's go.
All right. I don't even know what it says. Let's see what kind of horse shit they put on there.
Darn interns.
Look at how lazy this is. Out of the Detroit area, 3 guys run a sports-driven show that promises to entertain. First and foremost, there's 2 of us.
Who's the third guy? Where'd he come from?
The dog.
Okay, that's fair. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I left you out of it, dog. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's get signed in here.
All right.
What should it say? We should do something like super clickbaity, like those YouTube videos.
Click here for $1 million.
Like, we see really those guys who like make like
to give you.
Who make like Warzone classes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this gun's so overpowered.
Oh yeah.
It made my mom abort my brother, you know. just some silly shit. Oh, man.
Like, whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, oh, man, I guess that gun's super overpowered, man.
Right. Like, oh, okay.
I don't even know how to fucking change it.
Oh, crap.
Here we go. Go to account.
Doo-doo.
Okay. I don't even know where it's at to, like, change our... Yeah, I just got to dive into it. So, we'll do it. I'll find it eventually at some point during this show.
Okay.
A few other things I wanted to talk about. The kind of emergence of Justin Jefferson. I know he's on a bye this week. Not really, like, the biggest topic, but...
But he's coming up.
Yeah, dude's just out there. He's pretty much topping, like, every rookie record that's, you know, going to be coming out. Like, over the course of, like, 3-4 weeks, you know, what he's done up to this point.
And he has a mentally competent quarterback at that.
Right, right.
That's the scary part.
And he shouldn't even really, you know, be like the, you know, the guy who's, I don't know, and I guess he could be the guy that's stretching the field, but I mean, they've got a good receiver already on the other side.
Yeah, they've already got Thielen, so, you know, which he's there. It's not what you'd expect from Thielen thus far in the year.
And I mean, Thielen's doing what he does. He runs routes well.
Yeah.
He gets open. You know, you can hit him for scores.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Justin Jefferson really kind of is owning the Diggs role, but I think he's doing it at a more
consistent
right.
Diggs role. Because with Diggs, you'd have him go off 1 week, and then he's just gone for half the season.
Right.
Then he goes off again for a couple of games.
Yep. I mean, he's only – Justin Jefferson's one of four players in NFL history to have recorded 100 – or three 100-yard games in his first six games.
Mm.
It's him, Amari Cooper,
mm-hmm.
Julio Jones – and Byron Williams, which I'm guessing is like an old school cat, but I mean, those are impressive, like, you know, things to have on your resume coming in for 6 weeks.
Oh yeah, definitely is.
I think he's got a huge, huge upside for the rest of the season going forward. He's a deep threat. He's big. He goes up. He makes plays. I've seen him doing double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Justin Jefferson's a guy like you should target in your fantasy roster, especially with the trade deadline coming up. Is it next week?
I think it might be next week,
For most leagues, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming up quick.
Yeah.
I got to make some moves.
Yep.
Michael Thomas is just a fucking bummer for me, dude.
Man.
Anybody who's got him.
Yeah, excuse me. I had him. I'm sorry I pawned him off on you.
Yeah, you cocksucker.
Man, look, it's just... like, thus far, I'm really winning that trade, which is kind of...
by a lot.
Yeah, like by a long shot.
Yeah.
Like I was telling Alan earlier, I'm like, dude, so far I've really won that trade. He's like, I mean, not really, because it's like,
talking about?
I'm getting production. He's like, yeah, but he got Andrews. I got Hockenson.
I got two games out of Andrews.
Yeah.
And then he's dudded the other two.
Exactly. So it's like, because Andrews has been inconsistent this year in that Ravens offense.
Yeah. And Hockenson is at least
been consistent.
Like, it's your guaranteed 11 points, 12 points.
Each sometimes game.
Up of like 16.
Exactly. 18. Like, you know, I mean, I haven't gotten to use Fournette per se yet, but, I mean, still, I've been able to start T.Y. I've been able to start...
David Johnson.
Yeah, David Johnson.
Like, DJ Chark.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you fucking
like, that's four me. Starters for two.
You killed me in that trade.
Yeah. It was your idea.
As a guy without Michael Thomas on your team, is somebody you're targeting still?
I mean, in other leagues, yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You have to, right?
Yeah, it's like, why not? Especially if you can afford to. It's like... If you can afford to and you know your roster is in that position where you can really afford to take that hit, if it's going to, you know, be a big hit, why not?
And that's, I think, the best way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if the Michael Thomas owner's 1-5.
Yep.
You know, 2-4, like that.
Or even if it's, you know, in a scenario like in one of my leagues, almost everybody's literally a game apart aside from maybe one guy. Like, it's that tight of a race. And if you know it's that tight of a race, and this guy, you need him to produce, you kind of should move him for something that can produce consistently there.
Yeah. Well, like, I think that also goes on the outlook of the rest of your roster. Like, if you mm-hmm. were able to get somebody like Justin Jefferson off waivers.
Exactly.
Or, you know, another, like, consistent player.
Yeah.
Or if you've just made good spot starts. Like, if you're in place of Thomas, like, happened to just start Christian Kirk last week
right.
or something. Or if you hit on Robbie Anderson in the draft,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you wouldn't be moving him. But there's a lot of people who just can't afford him.
Yeah. It's like your roster is kind of in shambles and you just can't afford to find a way to keep him.
Yep. Some other big, like, just kind of things that I came up throughout the week. Obviously, Tua.
Yeah. Tua time.
He's taking over.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic is officially out. Fitzpatrick's on the bench.
I'm okay with it. It was time.
Yeah, and you said this like as that game was being played.
Mm-hmm. Like Fitz, it was the magic was wearing off. It's very unfortunate that it happened the way it did, but Fitz magic was wearing off, man. Like it was the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, weren't they up 28-0 in that game?
Yeah, they were.
Like, so did he get benched just like...
It was like basically the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we're up 28-0. You know, we got maybe one or two possessions left. Go ahead and get some snaps, you know?
And that was kind of like the narrative of that. Like, they're just turning over the helm.
Yeah, that's really what it was. Like, we found that out later that was the case. And it's like, okay.
That's kind of weird, man. Because, like, Fitzmagic, you know, leads you to a win. He's got your team in a position where they've got to be leading the division at this point, right?
They're a game out, yeah. They're like I think they're like a game under Buffalo.
Oh yeah. Duh. But they're serious contenders. Their defense is good.
They are.
Gaskin's running the ball like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, they've all been eating just insane production that Fitzmagic was doing. He's actually one of the better fantasy quarterbacks. I think he was 7 after last week's outing.
Like he was doing good. It's just, you know, and that's the thing. That was a great call by the coach. Like a lot of people are questioning it, but it's like if you know a guy is only good for a certain amount of games each year and you've seen that stretch already, why put yourself in especially when you're this close in the division race?
Well, let's be fair. It's a little early to make that call. Like, we haven't seen any results out of Tua. I mean, I think it went 2 for 2 in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, intuition could say otherwise, but at this point, you can't just be like, oh, that was obviously the right move.
Yeah.
Like, Tua could come out and put up Sam Darnold numbers next week, and we're like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
You had a guy who had a blowout win, and you benched him.
Yeah. It's just the history of Fitz.
I get it.
That's why I feel like it was the right move, because like the history of this guy shows you this was the case, and it's like, all right, maybe I should list, you know, look at those analytics and numbers and everything,
right?
You know,
I mean, I think time will, you know, obviously tell.
Yeah,
I think it's way too soon to say if it was the right or the wrong move yet.
Yeah, true.
I mean, in terms of what the numbers say, it's a wrong move, really. But you got a young guy who you want to, you know, be like, hey, let's make a charge that you're our franchise quarterback. I mean, then, like, to put him in that position and be like, hey, man, we trust you. We believe in you to kind of carry this team to a winning season.
Then there
you go. Can't give anybody any more confidence than that, you know?
True that.
Think about, like, Seattle back in their day. They signed Matt Flynn to a huge deal.
Yeah.
And they started Russ week one.
Yep,
off of a good preseason.
Yep,
you know,
because he was just hot.
Right. There was a play that caught my attention more than any other play last week, and it was a coaching move.
Which one?
So Mike Vrabel sent out late in the game against the Texans. You watch that game? It was a fantastic game.
Yeah,
it was so good,
dude. It ended so great.
Right, went to overtime, but in order to get them there. He calls, it was right after the Texans, or right after the Titans score, the Texans were driving, and he, this was prior to the two-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was like 3rd and 16 or 3rd and 15 or something crazy. Vrabel sends out 12 men on the field and got the flag, but there's a loophole because it stops the clock.
Yep. Genius.
He basically bought himself a timeout, took the 5-yard penalty. It's still 3rd and long.
Mm-hmm.
The clock stopped. Houston doesn't convert. He gets the ball back. He has plenty of time to fucking drive down the field and score.
Easily.
Actually, I think it was... No, because they got the ball in overtime. Mm-hmm. So it was in the fourth quarter. But, I mean...
Just the way that sequence played out was ridiculous, because it's like...
It's such a genius move.
Yeah.
And you don't see enough coaches like taking advantage of loopholes. Like Belichick really is like the only other guy who will like find these loopholes in the game.
Yep.
And Vrabel's done it a few times. Remember back when he beat New England a couple of years ago in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yep.
And
chess moves.
Yeah. It was like he... what the hell did he do? It was like a false start. Or not a false start. Or yeah, it totally was a false start.
Mm-hmm.
And then a delay of game.
Yep.
And that ate up like 3 minutes off the clock or something crazy like that.
Yep.
And then
it keeps running.
Yeah. They took the 10-yard penalty or whatever it was and then punted it.
Yeah.
Went to the same spot it was going anyways. It's a fucking punt.
Exactly.
But you just chewed, you know, pretty much a full possession off the clock.
Yep. And now you're just sitting there cozy like, wow, this works.
Yeah. And they've since banned that move.
Yeah.
But the 12 men on the field, like, I would do that every time in third and long.
Oh, yeah, easily. Like, why not?
So, what I'm proposing is somebody get, I mean, Vrabel is an ex-player.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody get Teddy Bruschi on the phone, tell him, come coach the Lions. You want to do the Patriot way, get an ex-player who's, you know, going to come in and make some moves like that.
Okay, buddy. All right, Miles. You've been drinking a little bit too much today, I see. It's all right, though.
Yeah. Is he still like an analyst on ESPN?
Yeah, I think Teddy is still. Yep.
I mean, dude was a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah,
he was great. He led that team.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
early, like 03, 04, you know, Patriots teams. He led those guys on, you know, on the defensive side to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
And that was back when Brady wasn't like the, you know, this is our guy that's leading us.
Right, like it wasn't the Tom Brady
part of the system
that you're accustomed to.
Yeah, exactly. Did we talk about the Danny Dimes butt fumble yet?
Man, like it wasn't even a butt fumble. It was just he ran, he was gone, and then it just ended horribly. He tripped over his own feet, and it was ugly.
Right. I mean, it was a great run.
Oh yeah, it was an amazing run.
I mean, he went like 80 plus yards, right? Mm-hmm. 85 yards, something crazy. Like
Man,
that.
He was like 80 yard, like 82, almost 88,
something. Like,
yeah,
tremendous run.
Apparently the fastest speed, like he even went faster than Lamar's run.
I saw that. It was like 21 miles an hour or something crazy.
Like, sheesh.
That's literally all the Twitter feed is right now is just how fast he was running.
Man, it's ridiculous.
They said he was like just behind Tyreek Hill's fastest runner.
Yeah, but like it's crazy how the play happened because you look up and like you just watching it. Next thing you know, you're like, all right, you know, he got the snap. Oh, he running it. Oh, right. It's a hole. Oh, nobody's catching him.
Yeah, dude, he was gone. He was
like, that was
gone.
It.
Gone.
Like, he was gone. Like, as soon as he hit the hole, there was no one in enough space to really catch him.
Yeah. I mean, he pretty much outran himself.
Yeah,
you know?
He did. Like, yep.
You think that's probably the fastest he's ever ran in his life.
Oh, it has to be. There's no question that that's the fastest he's run in his life.
Yeah, man.
Like, man.
What are we going to call him from here on out?
Danny Wheels.
Danny Wheels.
Danny Wheels. Good old Danny Wheels.
I like that. I like it.
I like it. I can fuck with it.
Yeah. Some other topics that was sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody suggested this thing. Like, we were, like, talking about sleep at some point. Somebody, like, just messaged us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, completely out of the blue. I don't even remember talking about this on the show.
Right.
And somebody said something about there's this... It's in the BBC. It's called a shipping forecast,
mm-hmm.
where like they just like talk about the temperatures of like the areas of where ships come in.
Really?
But it's at like such like a monotone, like low talk, and they just say like random areas and numbers. And they
That's
said
different.
Like they've never made it past 5 minutes without passing out.
Bruh.
It's supposed to be like this sleep fucking thing to just knock you out.
What?
It's like so calming. I don't know. Completely random. I had it
so
down in the notes. I was like, oh.
It's so random, and I'm somewhat intrigued. I'm not even going to lie.
Pull it up. You can pull it up.
Yeah.
It's called the BBC Shipping Forecast.
Okay.
And you can just, like, stream it.
Interesting.
And one other random thing that we got mm-hmm. is movies that are so bad that it's good. And I can't really think of any that are...
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite's kind of like the king of that, right?
I don't know, because I can't really say that was bad, per se.
Yeah,
like,
true.
You know, it was actually a good movie.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what I could classify that under.
But, like, the premise of the movie is just, like, what is Napoleon Dynamite about? And you're like, some dude who's, like, his family is, One's going into taekwondo.
Yeah.
His uncle's a quarterback. His grandma's riding in the sand dunes.
Good old Uncle Rico.
And he's trying to go to the prom with some random girl who, like, makes beaded jewelry at school.
Yeah. So random.
And there's just random events.
So random.
And his friend Pedro is running for
Vote
class
for Pedro.
President.
Vote for Pedro.
Did we get confirmation on Napoleon Dynamite too?
Dude, like, apparently they're trying to get it to happen. It's just, it needs to happen. That's all there is to it.
You got any so bad at their good movies?
Dude.
Because I guess that's all I got.
Just, if you get a chance, watch Rubber on Netflix. I think it's still on there.
Rubber on Netflix.
It's a psychic tire that blows stuff up with his mind. Just, that alone lets you know, this is interesting.
So the movie is a tire.
Yep, it's a tire. Just rolling around and just blowing stuff up with his tire mind.
What?
Yep.
Is it... How old is this movie?
I think it was made in like 2010 or something like that.
So it's somewhat recent?
Yeah, like it's not that old.
I would love to know who wrote this.
Let me see. Yep, it was made in 2010.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You even knew the year.
Oh, wow. I was just guessing a little bit.
Yeah. This is your movie, isn't it?
Dude, it's like, this movie was like horrible but hilarious.
Oh, my God. And the, so the cover of it is literally just the tire. Like the.
Yep.
This has to be a troll job.
Dude, tell you. It was worth it. I think it says with Amazon Prime, if you got Prime, it's on there.
What's the ratings?
Let's see. It actually has, yeah, it has 69% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
5.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
My God.
Yeah. Next level.
It's apparently not the worst movie.
It's not the worst movie, but it's like, it's a tire.
That's so weird.
I feel like it only gets that 69% because you know who most people that actually have watched this movie have in common? Fucking stoners. It's the middle of the night.
I was going to say they're potheads.
Yeah, so it's like you watch this while you're high and it's like, this is the greatest shit ever.
Right. That's so weird.
Oh, man.
So let's jump into matchups.
All right.
We didn't do that last week.
Yeah, we kind of fell off the wayside with it.
Yeah. I mean, that was the idea, and then we just kind of just kept rolling.
Yeah. And keep rolling.
Right. So. I mean, the game yesterday.
Booty Bowl, as Chase would call it.
Right, and I mean, I was like watching the debates and making dinner, so I didn't really catch the game while it happened. I caught the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, that was really the best part, watching New York just completely collapse.
I went back and rewatched it after the fact. I mean, Carson Wentz, you can't even really say he looked good. He just had a good production in terms of fantasy.
True.
I mean, he dropped 30 points if you're looking at our league.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, 4 carries, 92 yards.
Danny Wheels.
I mean.
With the wheels.
The Giants should have won that game.
They should have. There's no reason. Yeah.
Evan Engram, you cannot drop that.
Nope. It's like literally off the fingertips because Jones threw the most perfect pass to him.
It really is.
And I can't even say that he overthrew him. I can't even say it because that's how perfect that throw was.
It was a perfect throw.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing overthrown about that ball. It was a perfectly thrown ball.
Man.
Honestly, dude, I think Engram, like, I think you can call him washed at this point.
Oh, I feel like he was already washed.
I know.
Like,
but, I mean, he has
games where he goes
for 46 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, has he even had that yet this year? The most fantasy production he's put out is 6 catches for 65 yards.
See? 12 points.
14 and a half, but I think I think that's first downs.
First downs included. Yep. But, so 12 points, still, basically. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the game, you cannot drop that. And if he makes that play, it totally changes like what you think of him. Like, he could be on the uptick.
Yeah.
But it's like you do stupid shit like that.
And it's like they find ways to get him involved in the offense, like those little, you know, jet sweeps or direct snaps to him and everything.
Right.
Like, they find ways to make plays for him. It's just, as much as I see them drawing up plays directly for him, he should be producing way more. Like, you get too many opportunities to not be putting up Kittle numbers, in my opinion. Especially the different ways he's used.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, if you go back and, like, just watch in, like, the productive games that he's had in his career, it's contested catches over the middle.
Yep.
That's where he's feasted his entire career in games that he's had huge games where it's like he's caught 8 of 10 targets for 88 yards, you know, and a touchdown. It's because he just caught it over linebacker and under safety. And I mean, that's obviously you think you can get a guy in space.
Yeah.
You know, and he could score.
But not the case with him.
Right.
It's weird.
I noticed you did something yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you keep doing it. I tell you every week. Don't play a guy whose Slay is covering.
I know.
I tell you this every week.
I mean, the reason I did it, though, is because, dude, my options was either him or I had to, you know, go with Chenault or A.J. Green.
Oh, wait. Scroll back up. Where is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had him in the flex. I was going to say, have you just forgotten everything?
Nah, because if I would have had him in flex, then I could have, you know, tried to throw late. But even then, throw Le'Veon in there?
No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Le'Veon. And I mean, Chenault, as bad as Jacksonville looked last week against the Lions playing a real defense,
right?
I'll trust Chark, but Chark and Chenault, nah. And then AJ Green, yeah, he had a great game last week, but
I would rather start Chenault than Darius Slayton against Darius Slay.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I give you that.
Yeah,
it's just as bad as that offense looked last week, man.
Yeah. Wait, and A.J. Brown, did they have him marked as out? It says buy right there.
Oh, no. So I picked up Antonio Brown, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Which, I mean, I could have thought of firing up Emmanuel Sanders, but thank God I didn't and had Slayton in already, you know? Like,
right.
Because, man, on the COVID list now.
Yeah. He actually has it, right?
They said that he tested positive, yep. Okay. So he's out for a second.
Did the I know we talked about the Raiders O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Are they?
So apparently the entire O-line is on the list. I haven't heard an update yet, but they said that there were no more positive tests today.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means that those tests don't include, like, if the line actually tested positive just yet or something like that. I'm not sure how these rules work with the COVID list. Like 100%.
Yeah.
Because the way that they're talking is as if they could take them off the list possibly Sunday. And then they'd be able to play, which I'm like, that doesn't seem right to me. Like, if you have a guy on a list like that, I feel like you should have to reactivate him from that list earlier in the week for them to be game eligible.
Okay, so what I have here is 20 hours ago, ESPN, the Raiders placed 4 offensive starting linemen on the reserve COVID.
And they already had one on the list, Trent Brown, because he was the first one that tested positive.
Right.
Yep. So, dude, that is going to be, like, Josh Jacobs owners might get shafted this week.
Because,
I mean, Jacobs is a great back, but, yeah, you'd hope next man up can step up on an offensive line, and, yeah, you have injuries where your offensive line may not play together the entire season.
Yeah.
But losing your entire line for a week,
it's a game changer.
Like, dude, you can't tell me that's not an unfair advantage out of this world.
Right.
Like, honestly, if you were looking to, you know, fly a defense this week, and if Tampa's available, I would fire him up.
I mean,
especially after they played last week.
If you have Tampa, I mean, they're like a top 10 defense right now. But, I mean, you can
put them. But I've seen leagues where they were still just sitting, and I'm like,
oh, that's silly.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Tampa Bay to be sitting on the waivers.
You'd be amazed with some leagues.
So, let's see. This is the way that this article's going. It looks like they're leaning towards just bringing up the only 5 guys they have left on the starting roster.
Yep.
And they're bringing up 2 guys from the practice squad just to kind of be fill-ins.
Yep. So that's going to be weird.
NFL rules stipulate that teams must have at least 8 offensive linemen on their 48-man roster for the game day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've got 5 guys on their bench, and then they're calling up 2 guys.
Yep.
Well, it's got to be 3.
Yeah, it has to be.
Oh, no, because they put 4 guys on the list. I think one of them is actually playing.
Really? Because I thought Trent Brown was the first one, and then they put the other 4 after him. Because I thought that was all 5.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Unless they activated somebody else in place of him. But, man, I was starting to have a feeling about starting Ruggs this week, and I was like, nope.
Not against Tampa.
Not now.
Like, that defense is good, man.
Yeah.
You saw what they did to Aaron Rodgers, hottest offense in the league,
man,
essentially.
That was beautiful to me, by the way, to watch that. Like, it just – because I keep telling people, they're like, no, you just hating on Green Bay. No. In the words of Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. Well, who I thought they were, at least, which I actually watch football, so I know. Green Bay, when you face actual competition, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You're great at beating up on teams that you need to beat up on. But I cannot call Green Bay a great team because of the fact that they just do what they're expected to do.
Yeah.
And not even that, because it's a lot of teams that are quality teams that they're better than, and they still lose to them.
Yeah, and I mean, you absolutely called that one. Yeah. I was
a little on the fence about it, because I was like, you know, I didn't know how Tampa was really looking. Like, their season was kind of, they have a good record, but their season was up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But last week showed you what Tampa's capable of.
Right. Wait, Mark Andrews is still in the top three guy in really? Fantasy? That tight end? It goes Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, Waller, Jonnu Smith.
I figured Waller would have been higher.
No, he's had a couple of bad games.
I know, but was it one or two big games?
I'd say decent games before I'd say big games.
All right.
I think one of the weeks he did have two touchdowns, though. I could be mistaken. Yeah, the one week that was a 32-point week, it was 12 for 105 and a touchdown. I guess he only has two touchdowns on the year.
Okay.
So here I'll go through it. Week 1, 6 for 45.
Mm-hmm.
Week 2, 12 for 105 and a touchdown. Week 3, 2 for 9.
Mm-hmm.
Week 4, 9 for 88. Week 5, 5 of 48. Last week they run a bye.
Okay.
It was just Henry Ruggs, you know, missed that time.
Yeah.
And the top was completely taken off of the defense.
True.
Or
dude,
wasn't taken off of the defense.
Did you see the ridiculousness that even after last week, Dak was still leading the league in passing yards?
What?
Yeah, it's like, remember it happened last year when Stafford went down?
Yeah.
And he was leading the league in like touchdowns and passing yards, and it took 2 or 3 weeks for somebody to catch up. Well, Dax is going to get caught this week because Matt Ryan was literally right behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know. But
Matt Ryan's still up there?
Yeah. Matt Ryan's like second, I think, in passing yards.
And he plays the Lions this week?
Oh, he's definitely taking that over. Like, man. Yeah, because you got to think, even though that team is bad, they air it out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they haven't been putting up points necessarily, but they've been getting yards.
Well, I mean, in week one, Matt Ryan had the 450.
Yeah, like, he just went nuts.
That helps.
That helped, yeah.
But then he went 273, 238, 285, 226. And then last week against Minnesota, he had 371.
It's not bad.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, and then Deshaun's third and Wentz is fourth. If Josh Allen hadn't fallen off the face of the earth the last 2 weeks, he would actually lead the league in passing yards.
Absolutely.
Because looking at where he's at compared to what his last 2 weeks, especially last week, like...
Wait, where's Russell Wilson on this list? He's got to be six, right?
He should be, in my opinion. Let's see. He's 14th.
What?
I mean, he had the week off last week, bye week. Oh. He's got 15,000. Yeah.
1,500.
1,500,
15,000 at this point.
Dude, we'd be talking about greatest ever.
Yeah.
Don't judge me. I had a mind fart, though.
I mean, DK Metcalf would have probably 1,000 of those right now.
Oh, yeah. Easily. But yeah, no, like, this is just,
anywho,
this is crazy though. Yeah, because I mean, Minshew, I mean, these are guys that really, short of like Josh Allen, really have played every week.
Well, Josh Allen's actually kind of struggled the last 2 weeks.
He has struggled the last 2 weeks, which is why it's so shocking. Like, he's still as high as he is to me.
Right. So. Yeah, let's go through. We can just be quick on these.
Yeah.
The matchups. Just to kind of round off last night, the hit on DeSean Jackson, completely unnecessary. It's the end of the game.
Yeah.
He was already down.
He's out indefinitely now, which sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Like I get it. You know, you play till you're a whistle and everything. But, man, that was messed up. And his knee already tweaked when the initial guy hit him. Like, you saw when he came down, his knee tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when the other guy went for a cleanup hit, that really just took it all, like...
I wouldn't quite put that on par with the Chris Carson.
Nah. It's not the same level. Because that one was just... it was blatant that you were just gator rolling his leg, trying to break it.
That was like... who was the guy for the Bengals who always just targeted players? Perfect? Is that who it was?
You said who was perfect. Oh, perfect, yeah.
Dude, like that's that level of dirty when you're spinning somebody's knee when they're already down. I wouldn't put it on par with like stuff that those guys did, but like, dude, it's DeSean Jackson. He just came back from injury. Like, you don't have to clean him up on a punt return that he's already rolled down on, you know? Like,
yeah.
you're over ambitious there. trying to think you're going to like pop the ball out and it's going to stand, yeah. You know, like just let the play be dead, dude. Just yep. touch him on his helmet. You know, that's all you got to do.
Okay. You're down. Ha ha.
Devontae Freeman went out.
Yeah.
Wayne Gallman kind of came in, made some plays in the passing game. I mean, he went 10 for 34 and a touchdown.
Yeah. Rushing,
but 5 for 5, caught all 5 balls for 20 yards. I thought he filled in pretty nicely. Boston Scott didn't do a whole lot, but at the end of the game,
yeah, man, he really
showed up. Dude, he had a couple of big plays, but yeah. Nothing like where it's like...
Like, that was the big play. Right. Like, that was it. Yeah. Right. And the way that Wentz threw that ball to him, too, was like... That's a play you expect to see, like that Mahomes play from last week. You expect it to be on a bigger guy, and it's like, nah, I got faith in my guy.
Right.
Like, and I'm going to just throw it to him.
That was a money ass.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where with Tyreek Hill, you expect it, but with Boston Scott, you don't see that.
Yeah, you don't see that coming with Boston Scott at all. Yeah. Nah.
Fulgham, X-Line. I mean, Travis Fulgham, dudes.
Don't remind me.
He had 11 targets yesterday.
And it's crazy, too, because when they drafted Fulgham last year, I liked the pick. I was like, yes, I like it. This guy can possibly help us out, you know, in the long term. You're not going to expect him right away
right.
to produce, but he can produce.
Right.
And they let him go. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes. And, I mean, something in Philly, they're feeding them tight ends something, dude.
Yeah.
Richard Rodgers comes in, has a great game.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though?
What?
If I'm Philly fans... I'm wondering why has no one thought of this just yet. Maybe the issue isn't quite the players. Maybe it's not quite the coaches. It's your training staff that's hot garbage, because every year you have this huge wave of injuries on some side of the ball that makes you have to grab guys off the street. Because remember, the other year it was all of their corners.
Right.
And then the following year it was receivers, and it's been receivers basically the last couple years.
And this year.
Like, you can't keep them healthy.
Right.
Something with your training staff is off. You need to fire those guys and get somebody in that can keep your guys healthy, because this is becoming a pattern.
Yeah, but I mean, injury is kind of a weird thing.
Like, I mean, it is a weird thing to me, but like, when you've got outbreaks of injuries in certain player groups, you know, year after year after year, that's when I look into, okay, what can my training staff do to prevent this, you know? Because it's not like you're seeing stuff like guys get hit and, you know, leg snaps the wrong way left and right.
Yeah, are you suggesting maybe it's like an equipment / like...
Like, it could be.
Something, but I mean, like,
because I mean, just look at how over certain sports, you know, guys go to certain areas where the training staff's better, and their careers revive, like Grant Hill and Phoenix.
True.
You know, the training staff there, which nothing against that training staff in Orlando, they couldn't find a way to make it work.
Tigers players anywhere else.
Yeah.
Pistons and then, players anywhere else.
Then you go elsewhere and you've been banged up your whole career where you were, and now all of a sudden this doctor sees a different perspective, finds a way to keep you healthy. You're not even scratching an injury left and right anymore.
Wentz is always hurt.
Yeah. Like, it's something, man. It's something.
I think Tate got hurt in Philly as well.
Yeah, like I think he did.
There was, I mean, yeah,
because
yeah,
he really didn't produce at all there.
Yeah. I mean, they are plagued with injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. Moving along, your 2-3 Lions, Chris's 2-3 Lions against the 1-5 Atlanta Falcons.
And you know, after that win last week, everybody's like, they can do it.
Yeah,
it was the Jags who literally lost, which I said last week. There's no reason they should lose that game.
Right.
But you had the fear because it was the Lions.
Wait, so what you're saying is you don't think the Falcons are going to go 11-5?
Dude, the Falcons realistically could, but I feel like they're going to shred the Lions this week.
Yeah.
Ty Gurley's looking too good.
Right.
Like,
Ty Gurley looks great.
Granted, the run defense last week was phenomenal.
It was.
It was beautiful.
Credit. Yeah.
But that was a rookie running back. This is a vet.
Right.
This is Ty Gurley we're talking about.
Right.
He, even though in the past the Lions have contained Ty Gurley pretty well.
We can debate that on another show.
I mean,
a little low on time.
Remember the other year when we had to play them, when they were hot that year and the Lions were like one of the only losses they caught?
Yeah.
Well, they contained him pretty well that game.
Okay, but then the following season, the Super Bowl run.
I thought that was that same year.
They didn't lose that game. Aaron Donald took that fucking game over.
I thought it was Hogan Rory same kept game, the paint.
Todd Gurley did technically.
Yeah, like they contained Gurley, and then, you know.
However, the Rams showed up without a fucking game plan.
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, it's the Lions. They completely disrespected us, and we tried to earn some of it back, but it's the fucking Detroit Lions. They didn't care. They were on their fucking way to the Super Bowl. Give a shit about Detroit. We're going to go there, we're going to win a football game, we're going to leave. That's what that was.
Miles, I'm sorry if I offended you. Damn. like his face right now is like, listen, I'm not taking this disrespect to my team. I mean,
let's be fair. You said they contained them. No, they showed up and they said, we're going to run some plays and we're going to get out of there. That's what happened. Anybody who says otherwise wasn't watching the fucking game, or at least watching it the same way I was.
At the game, unfortunately. I was at that game.
Yeah, you were wasted in the stands yelling.
Dude, I legit was wasted in the stands, pissed, because I was high out of my mind going to the game already, and it was like, yep, all right. I was pissed. I was annoyed. Although I did meet some cool Rams fans there. They were from St. Louis, and they've been fans, you know, since then. They were like, whenever they're here, we always just travel to Detroit.
Okay, well, cool. That game in particular, because all of my guys, you know, they're fucking, like, trying to, like, bash me for being a Rams fan the last, like, 5 years. And it's like, dude.
It's the heat I get for being a Chiefs fan, but it's like.
Yeah, and at some point, you got to just give up on a fucking organization where it's not like, you know, I bleed Honolulu blue. It's like, no, dude, ownership fucking sucks.
And exactly.
Until they make a significant change, I'm not going to be, like, completely bought in on this team and get upset when they lose. They're always going to lose.
You've seen me say several times how, unfortunately, I'm a Knicks fan. Am I invested in anything the Knicks do? No.
Right.
Like, am I sitting here like, oh, man, we gonna get this guy? I'll be like, I hope we do.
Right.
But I don't see it happening because we're trash. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole idea that everyone's throwing out now, Westbrook to the Knicks. I love it, but it will fail because it's the Knicks. There's no reason it should fail, but it would because it's the Knicks.
Right. I mean, he would.
Russell Westbrook could literally turn the Knicks by himself into a top five Eastern Conference team.
Top eight. I'd give him a playoff shot.
It's the East. Things get so iffy in the East. Teams that should be good will just fall off the face of the earth out of nowhere.
But it's also the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say, hey, he could turn them into a top five team, but then somehow it's the Knicks and your lottery team again.
Right.
Yep.
So, speaking of the Lions, what we were getting into before we were caught off guard there,
you know.
I'm not even gonna finish what I was gonna say.
It's cool.
So Lions Falcons, this game has the potential to be a shootout.
It does, because both defenses are just not that great.
Right. I like what Swift did last week.
He did look,
I think,
great.
He's got a lot to capitalize on. He really showed that he can be your guy.
Yeah.
And you should honestly, from what, if you watch last week's game,
I mean, he's consistently been good for at least 10 points every week.
Right, and it's through the air.
Yeah.
And it's like, he showed that he can actually, you know, move the ball pretty well on the ground, too.
Yep, exactly.
Last week, he carried the ball 14 times for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
He caught 3 passes for 7 yards. He was extremely effective, his best game of the season.
Yeah.
And it was all on the ground.
Yep. Like, he had the hot hand, and they were like, we're riding it.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I mean, Adrian Peterson did have some carries late in that game.
And he did, I think. Did he have a touchdown?
He did, and he out-carried him in terms of touches.
Yeah.
He had 15 carries, but he only had 40 yards.
See?
Swift is clearly, I think, you know, the guy that you run with going forward. Yeah.
Like Peterson, you'd more so end up starting Peterson at this point if your running backs are on a bye week and you just absolutely have to.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And
unfortunately, running back market this year is basically at that point where it's like Peterson shouldn't touch your lineup, but you might be stuck in a position where you have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for guys like us, we watch the Lions games.
Yeah.
They actually have a sneaky good offensive line.
They do. Yeah.
And Adrian Peterson's going to touch the ball 15 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it comes down to it on a weekly basis, you're going to look at matchups, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could argue Peterson over somebody like Devontae Freeman, who's the number one guy in that offense. You know, Gus Edwards, who's getting the majority of the carries, you could lean Peterson, even though the success that Swift had. So, it's, I mean, he's could be viable.
Yeah.
But there's a hell of a lot of better options out there.
Yep. Way many better.
Speaking of options on the Lions, you know, Kenny Galladay, he's doing his thing since he's been back.
Just paid a man.
Hockenson has been extremely consistent. We already touched on a little bit this show.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Amendola at times. You know, he gets open in space. He's one of those guys.
And he's been that way since he got here. Like, you get Danny Amendola right. on a good day.
Right.
He's shredding a defense.
Right.
And he'll go ghost, but you know.
But my question, the topic that I wanted to bring up was Marvin Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, where he hasn't been injured.
Has anybody seen Marvin Jones? Like,
right. I mean, when Galladay was out and Cephas was playing, Cephas was getting the majority of the targets.
Those looks, yeah.
I mean, Jones has pretty much become an afterthought at this point.
It's like, I don't know what it is. Is it like both sides understand we're parting ways at the end of the year and that's it? And that's why, like, I don't get it. Because he could still be a viable threat in this offense.
Marvin Jones is a good player. Yeah. He can stretch the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know he had some injury issues last season, and he could be kind of just working his way back slowly this year because they wanted to try to make a run at it. But, you know, when you're so close in these games, like in Marvin Jones, let me look at his numbers. 4 catches, 55 yards, 4 catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown. 3 catches, 51 yards, 1 catch, 9 yards, the bye week, 2 catches for 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's literally, he's just getting no production. I guess he did have a knee injury.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a designation. He's a limited participant on Thursday, had a full session on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He's played more than 80% of offensive snaps.
Just every not game this year. Yeah, just not getting the looks.
Yeah, he's getting less than 3 catches a game for less than 30 yards a game.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah. Hasn't seen more than 10 targets, and I mean, that's 2 games that Galladay sat.
Yeah.
Like, at what point you really start to wonder, like, what's really happening here?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well.
Your boy Hayden Hurst. He's had 3 pretty decent fantasy weeks.
Dude, I told you. I was like, and that he's a sleeper for a quality tight end to fill you in this year. Because that offense was great for the tight end last year with Hooper.
Yeah, but he's getting it differently. It's like he's such an afterthought as far as like who to cover.
Yeah, because especially with Gage coming up the way he did early in the season.
That he's wide open on plays that you just forget about him, you know? Outside of that, I stand behind it. I don't think he's very good.
I mean, that's fair. That's totally fair. It's just like, hey, you know, if you plan on flyers with tight ends and stuff, Hurst can get you through some weeks, and he's shown it.
Right. Jones, Ridley. Is Ridley playing this week? I think he is.
Yeah, he is. He's supposed to.
Yeah, all right. Fire them all up.
Yeah.
Cleveland at Cincinnati, 4-2 Browns, a 1-4-1 Bengals.
A rematch of that Thursday night football classic.
Yeah. I mean, there's no Joe Mixon.
Yep.
AJ Green had a decent game last week.
He did.
We got to kind of fly through these. We got about less than 15 minutes.
Kareem Hunt, he'll be a good start.
Yeah, I expect him to bounce back. Yeah. He had a rough game last week. But.
Yep. Odell had a great game against, you know, the Bengals last time. Why not roll with it?
Right.
Yeah.
With Odell, they've got the bye week in week 9. But outside of that, you can start him because he can't get COVID, apparently.
Exactly. You know, so you're good. You don't got to worry about no COVID for Odell.
Yeah. You just have to work.
He built different.
You just got week 9 to worry about.
That's it.
You're good.
He built different, bro.
Yeah. Built different. You starting Baker this week? I know he was hurt.
Like, I honestly thought about it. Before I made that trade in my one league to get Brady, I honestly thought about it because Baker was one of the QBs that would have been available.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I was able to pull off Brady because I really didn't want to trust Baker. Like, granted, his best game of the season was against the Bengals, but no, I don't trust him.
Well, I mean, technically he had a better game against Indianapolis.
Top fantasy-wise, his best production was...
As far as, like, fantasy numbers, but yeah. I mean, that's the difference between not getting sacked.
Yeah, true.
And he fumbled against Indy. But outside of that, as far as like pure production, he had 247 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, compared to 219.
On 21 of 37 compared to, 16 completions for 219 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. And he had actually the same.
I guess he threw 2 picks.
He only had one against Cincy. Yeah. And that was like, I think that was just like a garbage time, him being a stupid pick, if I recall.
I don't remember.
Like, he was being stupid in some way when he threw that pick, but it's like they had the game locked up anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he got outplayed significantly by Joe Burrow. He did. That was like that Thursday night.
Yeah, because that's when Burrow threw like 60 passes that game. Passes. So, of course, he outplayed him.
Yeah. And he had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah. Like, man.
So, looking back at that, are you firing up Joe Burrow?
I'd fire up Burrow. I would this week. He had a rough game. Was it last week? Yeah, it was, I believe.
It was the week prior against Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, which that was Baltimore, which they got to play them again at the end of the year.
Thing is, I don't think the Browns are going to run all over them like they did in week one or two or whatever it was. And then Joe Mixon was in that game, but if you remember, Joe Mixon was on the bench.
Gio Bernard was there. Yeah.
He was on the bench on that last
possession. Towards the last couple possessions, he was the guy.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'd fire up Joe Burrow all day this week.
Yeah.
4-1 Packers, 1-5 Texans. Packers looked awful last week.
Yep. They're going to try to bounce back.
Yeah. The Texans, they've got a pretty stingy run defense, so it's going to be kind of on Aaron Rodgers to.
This will be a very interesting game because.
Right.
Both teams are looking to bounce back after a loss last week.
Yeah.
And Houston needs it a lot more. They're a lot more desperate for a win than, you know, Green Bay is.
Yeah, absolutely. Green Bay doesn't want to drop to 4-2, though. And you're they like, don't. Wait, was that first few weeks a fraud?
Exactly.
So
this will be very interesting to see. This will be a great game to watch.
Yeah. But even if Green Bay does win this game, you beat a 1-5 team.
Sweet. Yeah. So it's like it's not really much that they benefit from it.
Yeah. Devontae Adams, another week, you know, getting stronger, getting more healthier.
Yeah.
He's going to have a great game. Will Fuller.
If Aaron Jones plays, definitely start him.
Does he have a risk of not playing?
Yeah. Apparently, he. That's why I picked up Dylan in our league. Yeah, he's.
Oh,
has
yeah.
Some,
he had
yeah.
that, like, late. Like,
yep. Calf okay. injury. So yeah. he's questionable at the last second.
Right.
And I mean, the only reason why I'm a little concerned about it is because of the fact that, you know, the coach was like, well, push comes to shove, you know, we can plug in AJ Dillon and he'll be good.
Yeah.
Because usually when you're expecting a guy to play, it's like, he's good. Yeah. We'll be fine. Or we'll just see at game time. You don't really talk up the next guy if you expect your guy to play.
Right. God damn it. Never mind. I won't even say it on the air.
Oh, you picked up William? No. Oh, you dropped William.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I said I'm not
sorry.
Saying it on the
I'm sorry.
Air.
Sorry.
I'm going to ask you this every week. Going forward, Brandon Cooks or Randall Cobb? I've asked you this 3 weeks in a row.
You have, and it's such a toss-up. I feel like...
Look at their production from the last 2 weeks.
Like...
Both weeks I've asked you. Look at Brandon Cooks' numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting that stride there.
Cobb hit like 10 and 11 or something.
Yeah.
Like
so, I mean, Cooks is the hot hand right now, and I feel like in this game...
Going forward.
He'd be the better option here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're switching.
I'm switching this week.
Cobb last
now year. Watch. Cooks just shits the bed.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
And completely lets me down. And I'm like, wow, isn't this something?
Dude, that's exactly
what's
going to happen.
I knew not to trust you.
3-3 Panthers at the 3-2 Saints. I like the Panthers in this game, honestly. No Emmanuel Sanders, no Michael Thomas. Kamara's probably going to drop 50.
Oh, yeah. Kamara's going to have to go for 50 for them to even stand a chance in this game.
But, I mean... The Panthers, do the Saints have their corners back?
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. The defense is getting healthy. It's just the offense is taking a hit.
So that's a plus.
Yeah.
However, I mean, yeah, Kamara's going to go absolutely ape in this game. But Mike Davis, Robbie Anderson, these guys are all, you know, still playing great. Bridgewater, I mean, he's showing he can win some games.
Yeah.
Last week against Chicago, I mean, you just can't beat Chicago, I guess. No matter
I don't know what it is, dude. It's just like, you know, I actually saw a power ranking that had them like rank as fifth, and I'm like, you know, as much as I want to question it, somehow they can't lose. So, fuck it.
They like almost lost that game though, right?
Every game basically, they've pretty much should have lost.
Yeah, whoever writes them at five, go fucking lay in a ditch, dude.
But I mean, I get it. I get one to be like, yo, there's no reason. But somehow, some way, this team just can't lose.
Right.
It's like it's a divine intervention going on. So that's why I'm like, you know what? Why not?
If they beat the Rams this week, considering the Rams went on the road to San Francisco, lost.
If they somehow beat the Rams this week, I will actually take Chicago seriously.
Right.
You that have will
to
be winning.
You have to at that point.
Like, because it's no way they should beat the Rams this week.
Right.
No way.
Right. Are you starting any New Orleans?
I mean, short of Kamara.
Jared Cook, maybe?
Yeah.
I guess you can start Jared Cook, but I wouldn't touch any wide receivers.
Nah.
You can start.
I mean, someone will produce, but you don't know who.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Bills at Jets. I mean,
fire up every Buffalo Bill you got.
Yeah, play your Bills. Cole Beasley's a 20-point this week. 5-0 Steelers, 5-0 Titans.
Ooh, game of the week, game of the week.
It's got it. It is.
Man.
I mean, these teams are built so similar.
Run strong, run game.
Right.
Good quarterback play.
Yeah.
Great defenses.
Yep.
Man.
Who do you have as the number one team in football right now?
Honestly, right now, I'm giving the edge to Tennessee.
Are you?
Just the way that they've played, especially the way they play Buffalo.
Yeah.
They look like, as far as like, you know, now I'm not saying to win the Super Bowl, but like currently if I got to rank teams, yeah, I got Tennessee up there.
I agree with you just because of the level that Tannehill's playing at.
Yeah, and it's...
Derrick Henry's going nuts. What do you have, 200 yards last week?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, not only that, but the quality of teams that they beat. Like, because right. I was thinking about it, I'm like, as high as I am on Seattle, what does Seattle really play compared to some of the other teams that
Seattle's
were undefeated?
Been torched on defense.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, they're getting torched on defense. You know, the quality of competition isn't quite there compared to other teams,
mm-hmm.
which they look great, and I believe that Russ can keep them going.
Yeah.
But I got to give respect to the teams that's been, you know, playing great competition and just, you know, making it happen.
Right. I mean, I want to give the edge to Pittsburgh just because of how well that defense is actually playing right now.
You
it's,
know what,
it's crazy.
Though? They taking a hit because remember Devin Bush tore his ACL.
Oh, that's right.
That's going to be a huge, you know, loss for him.
Yeah. I agree there.
Like, it's not like losing Watt, but that's a big loss you got right yeah. there. Especially you try to contain Jonnu Smith.
Yep.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say, I think I'm with you on this. I think Titans are the difference. Yeah. And the reason is Tannehill Henry.
Yep.
I don't.
It's just, they're too good.
Yeah. Tannehill, you've got to put him up there in the MVP talk show.
Yeah,
right
you have to. He's balling this year.
And Henry, I mean, dude, just the yards that he's already got. I mean, he's the... If he can just get involved in the passing game, I mean, he caught two passes yeah. for 52 yards last week. It's definitely a sign of, like...
They're trying.
Yeah, he might be able to do something. He's getting a few targets every game.
Yeah.
They can just work him in. He could be Kamara level.
Yeah.
You know? Is A.J. Brown playing?
Yeah, he's supposed to play. Okay. They took off his entry designation this morning.
Yep. All right, cool. Do they have all their players back from COVID, you know?
They've got I think they at this do. Point, yeah. Right?
2-4 Cowboys, 1-6 football team.
God.
AKA Washington.
Another booty bowl game.
Terry McLaurin just probably going to go nuts in this game.
Yeah. I mean, if you got Zeke, you have no choice but to start him.
Yeah.
And that's basically it on this game. It's nothing else really worth discussing.
No, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, CeeDee still looks consistent. Yeah.
I mean, Andy Dalton, he's kind of a scrub, but he can yeah. he can, at least he's a, you know, a once, you know, every year starter.
Yeah, true.
You know? He's not afraid to throw the ball. Amari Cooper, I think you could play. And honestly, for me personally, I'm starting JD McKissick. I fired him up over Devontae Freeman.
Why not?
I yeah. like it. I think they're going to be
involving him cuz after they switched QBs, they started involving him a lot more in offense.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yep. And I don't know. I like it. I think McKissick can do some damage.
That game's going to be ugly, though.
We already kind of touched on this game a little bit.
Yeah.
Bucks versus Raiders. I've got the Buccaneers kind of winning this one on a landslide. Just
yeah,
the O-line.
Just because that O-line and consistency.
Yeah.
That's going to be... I feel bad for them.
I mean,
I really do.
Put it this way. Denver is playing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's a tough matchup for Denver.
Yep.
I'm starting Tim Patrick over Henry Ruggs just because of the O-line.
That's fair.
You yeah. have to.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the Buccaneers
now,
defense is so
we'll
good.
Say, though, Hamler's back as well this week, too. So that could eat into Patrick's production a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Judy's been there.
Yeah.
Noah Fant should be back this week. That
yeah,
could
he's
also
back as well,
eat.
Too. Yep.
But when he first started, Noah Fant was in that game. Mm-hmm. He played when he got his first 100-yard receiving game.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of where my hand's forced to go right now.
That's fair.
But I like it more than Ruggs just due to the O-line.
Yeah.
People are under, like, anybody who thinks that that's not, that this isn't going to be a blowout game just because of that, you're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy. Carr is going to look horrible, and people are going to drag him for it, which I feel bad for about him. I mean,
and they're a good team.
Yeah.
Like, if they had their O-line,
This will be a good game to watch.
This would be the game of the week behind Steelers Titans.
I mean, it was in prime time, and they had to shift it out because the NFL knows.
Yeah,
it's gonna be ugly.
Right. KC, Denver. Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Even though Denver's got a pretty stout run defense, Edwards-Helaire is going to eat again. It's a
snow game, though.
Oh, yeah. It's like 20 degrees there, isn't it? Yep. Holy shit. Is it going to actually like snow like crazy?
I think it's supposed to. I don't know how much snow, but they're predicting snow for Sunday.
Damn.
So it's going to be a running game.
Yeah. Is Edwards-Helaire, he's from LSU. Do you ever play in the snow? You ever seen him in the snow?
I don't think I've seen him play in the snow, actually.
Uh-oh.
Because most of the SEC is in the South anyway.
Yeah. So that could be rough.
Yeah.
3-3 49ers at the 2-3 Patriots. I mean, this one, I know, what's his name? Mostert got sent to IR.
Yep, he did. So McKinnon's going to get the start.
Yep. Apparently, Hasty is above Jeff Wilson, but I think Jeff Wilson's got an injury thing going on, doesn't he?
Possibly.
Or do they just not like him anymore?
It could be the fact that he's just falling out of favor because, I mean, they tried to give him every chance when Mostert went down earlier.
Yeah. I mean, he had the one decent game.
Yeah, against the Giants.
Yeah. 4 hours ago, he's got a calf.
Mm.
Limited participant throughout the week. Yeah. I guess we'll see 90 minutes before the game, he says.
Right.
I'm not starting any of the pass catchers outside of James White.
Yeah, and I mean, same for me as far as for the Niners. I'd only go with Kittle.
Oh, yeah, Doug Kittle.
I mean, they're going to try to put Gilmore on Kittle, but it's Kittle.
Right.
You have no choice. It's Kittle. Like, that's going to be the root of their offense.
Yeah. That's I forgot about Kittle. I was meaning both teams.
Like, yeah, I like figured you were because it's really beyond that. Like, I don't trust Deebo Samuel. I don't trust Ayuk.
Yep.
Like, especially with them playing the same type of role in that offense, too,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to gauge who's going to do what which week.
Mm-hmm. 1-5 Jags, 1-4 Chargers.
Go Chargers, go.
There it is.
Justin Herbert gonna have a game of his life.
He is.
He gonna tear them to shreds.
Dude, I'm so torn between should I try the Josh Kelly experiment one more time? I'm leaning no.
Yeah.
But every time I do that is the week that they come out and drop 23 points, you know, on the bench.
Yeah.
I might just fire him up. The Jags gave up way too much to two different running backs last week.
Yeah. So it's highly doable. That's why I thought about it, too. I'm like, this is a week to start possibly both of them if you got one of them.
But also Keenan Allen's back.
Yep, he is.
I don't know.
I mean, they still try to run the ball in L.A., so
right.
There's that.
I'm pretty torn on it. I mean, let's look at his carries per week. It's been horrendous. So 12-23 in his first 2 weeks. Looked good, had some good production. And it wasn't anything explosive, 12 for 60 and a touchdown, and then 23 carries for 64 yards. But he had two catches for 49. Against Carolina, game you expected him to just go nuts, 8 for 43. Yeah, he had good yards per carry, but he didn't really, you know, break away.
Exactly.
At Tampa Bay, which is great defense, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He had 9 attempts for 7 yards.
See.
In New Orleans, 11 carries for 29 yards.
Mm.
I mean, he's getting a few touches, but it's not enough to warrant a start over a pass catcher.
Jackson's really the guy more so.
Honestly, I think they're both trash.
Why do you think I picked them both up in another league and sold them off?
That was the move. That was the play. That was the right play.
One got me A.J. Brown. The other got me what was
someone gave me A.J. Brown for one of them?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And the other one got me what was it?
You should be in jail for theft.
First of all, sir, look, I can't help it. I got James Robinson, actually, out of the other.
What?
So, look, this is how it played out because, you know, it just, hey, look.
That's a silly trade. Whoever gave you James Robinson and A.J. Brown, honestly.
Okay, to be fair,
crazy.
For Robinson, I gave him Higgins and Justin Jackson.
Okay.
So that was a fair one.
Still wouldn't do that, but I can see where he was going.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know. I mean, it is what it is. And then the other one was basically, I gave him the other one, it was Kelly and it was somebody else. Oh, Kelly and Chenault, I gave them for James White and AJ Brown.
Jeez. Chris is over here just strong arming, dude.
I'm not strong arming. No. I'm just like, yo, you want this?
I
like,
know, but hey. It seems like you should have been in a position where you had to strong arm for that, because that's you just won tremendously on both of those deals.
I mean, and then, you know, the whole Phillip Lindsay and Darius Slayton for Brady thing as well.
Yeah, you're excited about that.
Yeah.
Were we saying that off the air or on the air? That was off the air, right?
Yeah, it was off the air. Yeah, but man, yeah. Like I did it because it was like it was the bye week and there were no quarterbacks available short of probably Baker Mayfield. And it's like, well, yeah, it was either that or I was gonna have to try to make an actual move and trade a running back that I was gonna need for Justin Herbert from another guy, which I need him to lose this week. So I'm like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Like I didn't want to help you out too much. I need to help myself.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing people don't really factor into trades too much. Like, I look out the rest of the season.
Yeah. Like, sure, like, I'm helping you out, but do I benefit more or less?
Yeah.
You know,
For those of you who stuck around this far in the show,
yeah,
I'm going to drop, like, what's the key to winning is looking at your matchups and looking at the people who are close to you, looking at their matchups, and try to, you know, move trades and deals that are going to affect those matchups later on and favor you.
Yeah.
I do it with every move that I make. I didn't expect Michael Thomas to bite me this hard, but.
Yeah. Man, who are you telling?
I mean, later on in the year, like, that's going to be one of the moves that's going to hopefully win me the championship, but.
True.
At this point, it doesn't look like it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
We got one more game to cover. We'll cover this final one. It's good. Sunday Night Football, what do they call it? Division matchup.
Yeah.
Seahawks 5-0 at the 4-2
Cardinals.
This will
be very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, man. Kenyon Drake coming off of a huge week. DeAndre Hopkins has some concerns. I believe he missed practice. But they're saying he should go. He's missed practice ooh, before and played.
So a little tidbit for you, because I didn't even think about this. Well, it's not related to football, but... the other day, randomly, they added Brock Lesnar to UFC 4.
Okay.
Like, as a free DLC character if you play the game this week. And the reason being that they rushed it, apparently, is because they're going to announce during the main card tomorrow night, Brock signed to do the last pay-per-view fight of the year.
He's signed to do the last pay-per-view fight of the year?
Yeah, for UFC. What? So, whichever one towards the end of the year is going to be, Brock's going to be on that card, apparently.
Who's he going to fight? Cormier?
I don't know.
John Jones? No. He wouldn't fight John Jones, would he?
I mean, they've been flirting with the idea, I've seen. So it's like, dude, if it is.
That would be like a great way to end 2020. Even though John Jones would kill him.
Please let me get that.
John Jones would kill him.
He would, but I would just like want to see it.
I would like to see John Jones drop back down to light heavyweight and fight Jan Blachowicz or whatever the hell his name is. That would be a fight, because I think the way that Jan's fighting right now, he might be able to catch.
I mean, John did say, maybe I need to go get my belt back. So he's thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, Adesanya would never go up.
Yeah, he would.
And meet him.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty entertaining one to watch.
It would.
I don't know. Adesanya, with the floppy titty and everything else. Dude. I think he might be on steroids, dude. You don't go out and beat Costa the way that he did if you're not taking fucking steroids. Have you seen Costa? You have.
Yeah, I have. That's why I was worried about Costa. But to be fair, Costa was scared that fight. And that's really what cost him that fight. Costa was not as aggressive. That's why I feel like steroids or not, dude, Costa came into that fight with the worst game plan he could. Because it's like he was trying to be patient and let Adesanya come to him. No.
Adesanya looked like Superman in a fist fight.
He did. He really did.
You know?
Like, he did. But it's like, just...
You couldn't touch him. He did what he wanted to. Yeah. He methodically beat you apart, and all of his strikes had everything behind it. Yep. I mean, he legitimately looked like he just was
on another
steel
level.
from head to toe. Yep. You know?
Like, man.
His leg kicks literally just took Costa out of the fight.
Dude, that leg was done.
And then he picked him apart. It was just like he didn't miss a shot.
Yep.
And Costa hit him like six times, it seemed like, the whole fucking fight. Yeah.
like that was it. Like his aggression just was not there.
Yeah.
And it killed him.
I'm really excited about the card tomorrow night though.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good stuff. I'm actually going to probably watch the prelims too.
Yeah, I'm going to watch them.
Yeah. Early prelims, probably skip on those, but
ooh, Dodgers up 3-0.
Yeah, dude, the main card starts at 2 p.m.
Yep.
That means
prelims at noon.
2:33, 3:34.
Be about 5, 4:30, maybe 6.
About 4:35, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably about 5 is when the main...
Like, I say 6 at the latest when the main card actually goes on.
Which is kind of nice, man. I like it when UFC is just like, yeah, getting it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't like sitting up till fucking 2 in the morning watching
fights. Yeah. Because sometimes I'll be like, all right, these fights are good, and I'm like...
And this one's in Abu Dhabi, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So that makes sense. But last time in Abu Dhabi, they had them fighting at like fucking 7 in the morning, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Because technically when they've done the fight islands, yeah, it was like three, four in the morning there when they were, you know, doing it, broadcasting it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting going and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even notice. It was Alexander Volkov versus Walt Harris. That's the third to last fight.
Mm.
Yeah, man. This is going to be a good card.
Yeah. Great card.
Can't even say this on the air. I'll tell you after the show.
All right.
we'll get some backlash for what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Look, it's bad enough that I apparently caught the wrath. So, dude, it happened.
What?
I got Twitter notoriety the other day.
What did you do? Jesus.
All right. So, look, it was like a moment that happened where a local rapper I told you about, Sada Baby, he was trending on Twitter. Because okay. People found some of his old tweets. Now, this is a guy from the east side of Detroit, you know, hood as ever. So you expect old tweets to be very, you know, questionable.
Yeah.
Like, these are tweets from when he was like 17. One of them was him insinuating, he was insinuating some very questionable stuff. And I'm like, okay, I don't condone it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, dude, this is how long ago? Like, has anybody came forward saying that he's actually done anything of that sort or anything? You know? And then, two, what's his response?
Which is it like the big R word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he also had some other stuff that was, like, questionable and stuff that he posted, too. But, you know, you get to the bottom of it. And at first, he posted on his Instagram page, like, I don't give a fuck what y'all think about my old tweets. Like, it's old. No.
Right.
Just basically poking the bear at people.
Mm-hmm.
And people kept going. And then he released an apology video. He was like, look, play as fuck up too. He's like, for one, I don't even have my Twitter anymore. My record label do. So I don't see it. Secondly, you know, it's just, I was young. I was stupid. I realize now I can't say some of the stuff that I said then.
Right.
And, you know, it's true. So I used, remember that clip from The Last Dance where Jordan was dancing on the bus with his headphones on?
Yeah.
I did that, and I put, like, one of Sada Baby's songs in the background, and I was like, me still listening to Sada Baby, because fuck what y'all think.
Sure, okay.
Dude, this fucking tweet, to this moment, almost every time I go on Twitter, it's like, oh, you have another interaction. Somebody's liked the tweet. Somebody's retweeted it.
Yeah.
107,000 views with 1,000 retweets and 2,000, almost 3,000 likes.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, holy shit. So if we get some more, you know, listens because of that, because I kind of just was like, plug podcast link up under.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. We shouldn't go and just play Sada Baby in the intro. You can't really,
nah.
We're not going to take it there quite
yet. We're not going to take it there quite just yet. We might one day, you know.
We did just go complete opposite and turned on the poppiest music of all time.
We did. But, you know, one of these days I'm going to convince Miles to just do Block Party as the intro music, and it'll be the greatest, most lit moment ever.
Well, actually, this is all strategy, okay?
Hey, man, look.
We know what we're doing over here.
We know what we're doing.
For the fucking 1,000th time and the thousands of you who actually do listen to the show, not the 100,000 that retweeted the fucking thing. Like shit on Twitter. Give
Instagram,
us like a
Instagram.
Well, the
all
main
that.
Actually, dude, I'll give you the layout. The mm-hmm. main thing is, I should go back and put this in the fucking beginning. The main thing is to follow on Spotify.
Yeah,
that's what will help us out the most.
Yep,
because
we get the most feedback there.
Yeah, I mean, when we're calling all these like ad agencies to fucking, you know, endorse our show or sponsor our show, like they want to know how many followers that you actually have on Spotify.
Yep. So follow us on Spotify, fam.
I mean, I can show them the listens, but it's like, do well, we want guaranteed listens.
Yeah.
The only reason they can the only way they can guarantee it is by following. So if you follow the show, that's doing us a huge solid.
Yeah.
That also, like, with the algorithm, bumps us up into, like, the
exactly, fucking, you know, where, like, we get a little more notoriety.
And Lord knows the world needs more of this.
Dude, like, really. Like, look, we get this far enough, I just start ranting on stuff. It'll be very entertaining.
Not only that, we'll do, like, Jackass-style YouTube videos.
Exactly.
I mean, we know how to do fun stuff with interns.
Right. You know? Like, come on now. We can really make this very entertaining, guys.
Yeah. I mean, just put us up there. Yeah. Put us up on the top. So
we just need a little budget. That's all.
Yeah. Follow the Spotify video. Yeah, because I'm not paying for this shit out of pocket.
Yeah, like, dude, come on now.
Not gonna
fund us.
Not going to fund a full studio.
Yeah. Like, we turned this into an MTV show, and then that's basically when we sold our souls, and that's when I go on a bender, and, you know, Miles is like, well, what the fuck happened to Chris? The money got to me.
And that's our show. Again, follow us on all the stuff. Follow the show on Spotify, and that's it.
Peace.
Peace. So what I was going to say on the Sunday morning music ran loud. Let me love you while the moon is still out. Lost in the way you move, the way you feel. One kiss is all it takes.